Bokeh tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are on Daf Lamed Tet, Amud Aleph of Masechet Yevamot. And we have the Mishnah that's at the bottom of Amud Aleph. It's really two Mishnayot combined, and we will study those Mishnayot in the attendant Gemara, along with the following Mishnah, which is on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, till the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah, Mitzvah Begadol Yabem. This is something that we've already seen once before, but there is the basic formulation. The mitzvah is upon the eldest brother to do the yibum. Lo ratza malchin al kol ha'achin. If he doesn't want to do yibum, we go to the other brothers and ask them. We're not told here if there's a particular sequence, although the sense is we go to the next youngest. Lo ratzu chozru netzal gadol. If none of them want to, then we go back to the gadol, and what do? Omrim lo alacha mitzvah. And we tell him, it's up to you. O chalotz o yabem. Do one or the other, but it's up to you. Now, the second Mishnah is talam katan. Let's say he said, I've got a younger brother who's not of age. Ad shiagdil. Let's wait until he grows up and let him do yibum. O begadol ad shiavom dinat hayam. O cheresh o shotev. Somebody else who is temporarily unable to perform yibum. And they say, wait until he comes back. Wait till he gets better. Wait till whatever it might be. Then ein shomin lo, we do not abide by that request. Elomim lo alacha mitzvah chalotz yabem. We tell him to perform the mitzvah, either chalitz or yibum, immediately. Very straightforward. Now, the Gemara will present us a dispute between Reb Shimon Levi and Reb Yochanan. We don't know who takes which position, about a standoff between two that are left out of the equation. Itmar. Biat katan v'chalitzat gadol. In this particular context, katan does not mean somebody who's a minor, rather somebody who is not the oldest brother, a younger brother. So we have the option of either having the oldest brother do chalitza, or a younger brother who's willing to do yibum. What do we do? Pligi Rabbi Yochanan Reb Shimon Levi. Chad Amar Biat Katan Adifa. One of them says, it's better to have the younger brother do yibum. Chad Amar Chalitza Gadol Adifa. He says, no, it's best for the oldest brother to act, even if it means chalitza. Now, Man Damar Biat Katan Adifa. Let's hear the arguments. Why would Biat Katan be better? The mitzvah yibum. The main mitzvah is yibum. That's something we're going to discuss very soon. The one who says that it's preferable to have the eldest do chalitza, he proposes an interesting formulation where he says that if there is a gadol around, then the yibum of the katan is really not much of a mitzvah, or a mitzvah at all, lav klumi, and therefore we prefer the chalitza of the gadol. Now, let's see if we can prove either position for our Mishnah. Tanan, lo ratza machzirin al kol ha'achin. How do we start the Mishnah? If the Gadol doesn't want to do Yibum, we go to the other brothers. My love, lo ratza liyabem, doesn't it mean that the older brother did not want to do Yibum? So notice what we're doing. We're preferring having a younger brother do Yibum and have the older brother give the option of Chalitza. El achlos, uktanim ha'achin etzal ha'achin, shvamin ha'bir katan adifa. So that proves that the B of the younger brother is preferable. Well, lo ratza lachlotz v'lo liyabem. What does lo ratza mean? We ask the older brother if he's willing to do yibum. If not, then we say to him, please do chalitza. If he's not willing to do that, then we go to the other brothers. And that is the parallel with what happens with the other brothers. The other brothers, when he says lo ratzu, and then it comes back to the eldest, means they did not want to do either yibum or chalitza. Now, but if that's the case, if the gadol already refused to do yibum or chalitza, what is the point of coming back to him? The answer is the michpe, to force him. So lichpe ledidhu. So why do we force him? Came with the mitzvah ale didei ramya didei kaifina. Since the mitzvah, he's what we're going to call the point man for the mitzvah. He's the first address for the mitzvah. Therefore, since somebody has to act, he's the one we force. But in other words, the way that we're formulating it could go both ways. One way is that we start by asking the gadol to do yibum, and if he refuses, we then go to the other brothers, which proves that biat katan is better. Or it could be that we tell the gadol to act, and if he refuses to do either, we come to the other brothers. And then, ultimately, we roll back to the first brother. If nobody would do anything, yibum or chalitza, and we have the first brother, the oldest brother, we force him. Now, tnan talava katan chiagdil en shomin lo. We have in the second Mishnah that we studied, that if he said, I'm going to wait until my younger brother grows up, we don't listen to him. If you're going to tell me that it's better to have a younger brother do yibum, not underage, but a younger brother do yibum, then why don't we listen to this argument? Nintar Dilma Gadol Lumiyabin. Why don't we wait until this younger kid becomes of age? Maybe he'll do Yibum, and that, of course, according to you, is better. The answer is, V'litamech v'gadol ad she'yavo medinat hayam ein shomin lo. So we all agree that if the eldest brother does Yibum, that's the best thing, and yet we don't wait to see if he's going to come back from abroad. Amai nintar dilma ati v'chalitz. And according to you, that his chalitz is better than B.S. Cotton. It would be better to have the eldest brother come back and do chalitza. And the answer is very simple. We just don't delay doing the mitzvah. In other words, the fact that we don't wait for the katan to grow up and then see what he's going to do doesn't prove that his bia is not as valuable. It just means we don't delay performing the mitzvah. Now, that's take number one on the machloka. Take number two is as follows. Ita amri. V'via kuli amalo pliga to be at katan adifa. Actually, everybody agrees that it's better to have Yibum with any of the brothers than Chalitza. Yipligi b'chalitza katan. Our only question is whether there's any hierarchy when it comes to Chalitza. Achidmar, this is how the machloket should be. Chalitza katan v'chalitza gadol. If you have a choice between having a younger brother or the oldest brother do Chalitza, Yipligi Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shimon Levi. Chad amar chalitza gadol adifa. One of these Amoraim says that Chalitza gadol is better. The other one says chalitzot are all the same. There is no hierarchy and no preference. So the one who argues that the eldest, the chalitz of the eldest is better, is because the mitzvah be gadol. After all, the mitzvah of Yibum is on the gadol, so therefore his chalitz is better. And the other argument will be that the only time that we say mitzvah be gadol, that's a reference to Yibum. As far as chalitza goes, it doesn't matter as long as she's released by one of the brothers. Now, let's see if we can test this against the Mishnah. Tanan, lo ratzu chozrin etzal gadol. Remember we said we go through all the brothers, we go back to the gadol. My love, lo ratzu liyabem elalach lods. Doesn't this mean that the other brothers said, we won't do Yibum, but one of them said, I will do chalitza, and we still go to the eldest, proving that the eldest's chalitza is preferable. Chozrin etzal gadol, shvam na chalitza gadol adifa. Lo ratzu means lo lach lods v'lo liyabem. Right? It means that the brothers said, not we're not willing to do Yibum, but we're not willing to do Yibum or Chalitza. That's how we interpreted the Gadol's refusal. He refused to do either Chalitza or Yibum. So then why do we go back to the Gadol? To force him. So why don't we force them? The answer is, and since he's the point man of the mitzvah, he's the one that we force. Good. Now, Toshma, Talaba Gadol Achevim Dinatayam Ein Shomin Lo. Remember we said we do not wait for the eldest to come back from abroad. We perform the mitzvah right away. But if you want to tell me that since she's going to get chalitza anyways, it's preferable to have the eldest, why don't we wait until the eldest comes back? The answer is, Delma Ati V'chalit, Tamech V'kot Nad Shiyagdil Ein Shomin Lo. But at this point, we all agree that anybody's bia is preferable, and we don't wait for the katan to grow up because maybe he might do yibum. Amay nintar dilma gadol miyabim, right? Ela kol shahui mitzvah lo shahina. This is the same thing we had before. We do not delay the mitzvah. Good. Now we get to a general statement, which is from a later mishnah about the mitzvah of yibum. Tanata mitzvah yibum kodemet mitzvah chalitza. Yibum is preferable to chalitza. Good. So. That was in earlier times when the brother had intent to do the mitzvah, and that's why he was doing Yibum, not because he was attracted to or any other reason. But nowadays, this is early in the Tannaitic era, when we say that people generally have more personal intentions and not altruistic intentions, we prefer chalitza. Amarav ein kofin. Rav says we don't force either way. Rav, 3rd century, says we don't force either way. And now we have a demonstration. Ki ato lekamed to Rav, when a yibum case would come to Rav, amar lohu ibayit chalutz, ibayit yabem. Whatever you want to do, chalitza or yibum. Bedidach talo rachmana. The Torah left it up to you. Vim loyach po tzaiish. It's up to the man. If the man says I don't want to, or a man says I do want to, it's up to him. If you want to, then you can do either. And Rav Yehuda, Rav's Talmid, felt the same way. How do we know that? Mida'atkin, Rav Yehuda begita the chalitza. When a woman gets chalitza, she needs a shtar chalitza to prove that she's released and prove her status. And the wording used in Rav Yehuda's Beitin and Pumadita read as follows. Ich ploni bat ploni. I, the woman. Ploni, the daughter of ploni. Akravat yad ploni yevama. I brought my yavam ploni. Kadmon levedin in front of a beidina. Vo ishtemo deinu. We informed them. We'll see what that means in a minute. De achua. De achua demitana me abaniu. And I identified him as being my husband's paternal brother. The Amrile Itsovit Liyaben Yabemvi Lot Idlala Riglach Diamina Vidlala Rigla Diamina Visharat Sine Me Al Ragloy Vyarka Ban Poi Yar Roka Dmitchazya Levedina Al Ara. Alright, so let me translate that. And they said to him, Itsovit Liyabim Yabim, if you want to do Yibum, do Yibum. Vilo, and if not, Idlala Raglach Diamina, expose your right foot, Vidlala, and he did. And he took a shoe off. Or I took a shoe off. And I spit in front of him. A spittle that was visible to the Beit Din on the ground. And this we'll get to much later in the Masachet in the specifics of Chalitza. But what you see is that in the Shtar itself, it said that it was really up to the Avam to do whichever he chose. And he said that Rav Yehuda added the following in the Shtar. And we then read everything that was said in the Sefer Torah Moshe about calling him Beit Chalutz Hanal, etc. Now, Ishtemo Deinu, it said that we, in the Shtar, it says that we, in, he was the informed, the Beit Din was informed that this fellow was the paternal brother of the of my dead husband. Pligi Rav Achav Ravina, what does that mean we informed him? Chanamar Be'edim, one says that we need real Edim to testify to the Yichus. And the other says, no, anybody comes in, even somebody who's not kosher le'edut, a woman, a relative. The answer is that this is not testimony, this is just clarification of status, and anyone can do it, even a karov, even somebody who's pasul le'edut. Good. Now, mitzvah chalitza. So we now quote the Mishnah that said originally they had Yibum was first. Then they said we reverted to Chalitza being, not reverted, we moved to Chalitza being preferable. And then here we have a record from the early Amoraic period that says, and they again changed and went back to Yibum being first. What, our generation got better? Suddenly we're all holier and doing things for the right reason? So the answer is no. What happened is originally they held like Abba Shaul, and then with people's changing motivations, they had to change the policy, and then they accepted the Rabbanan's position, and we'll see what those are right now. The Tanya, Abba Shaul Omer, Hakonisit Yivim Tol Hashem Noi, Ulashum Ishu, Ulashum Davar Acher, Kilu Pogea Be'erva. Anyone who marries his Yivama for anything other than L'Shem Shemayim, because he's attracted to her, because he always wanted to be married to her, whatever it may be, it's almost as if he's violating the Isser of Eshadach. It's not really, but it's almost as if. Karvani Beinai Liyotav Lad Mamzer, and the kid is almost a Mamzer. Right? In other words, he certainly sees this as not being the mitzvah of Yivam. The Chachomim Omrim, the Pasuk says, Yivamai Avo Aleha, means Mikol Makom. Any kind of B is fine. Manta, so that's Abba Shaul versus Rabbanan. So what happened is originally they held like Abba Shaul. And therefore, when the motivation originally was good, the policy was Yibum. When the motivation became a little bit more prurient, then it changed to being Chalitza being preferable. And then when he ruled like Rabbanan, we said we don't care what the motivation is. Yibum is the preferable way to go. Then we find in the Moraic period, already it not being necessarily preferable, it was a real choice up to the Yavan. Now, Matan Lahanatan Rabbanan. So who could be the author of the following braita? Yevamaya Voaleha is a mitzvah. Shebitchila itala v'chlal heter. Originally, this girl was mutter to you totally. Ne'asra, she became aser. V'chazer v'hutra. And then she became mutter to you again. In other words, this girl was unmarried. She then married your brother, she became aser to you. Two ways. Eshadish and Shrach. Brother then died without children, she became mutter to you again. Yachol tachzor leheter arishon. I might think she goes back to original heter. Taman lomar yavo aleha mitzvah. Therefore, it says yavama yavo aleha. So man tana, who's the author? So we have two takes. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Abba Shaul. He said Abba Shaul, and this is how it reads. V'achikam yavama yavo aleha mitzvah. Shebitchila ita la bechal het. Originally, he could have married her. Ratzal l'shem noy konsa. Ratzal l'shum yishut konsa. He could have married her for any reason. He's attracted to her. She has money. Whatever reason he might have. Nasra, she became asur to him. Chazra v'hutra achzor that to Rav Yishon. When she became mutter to him now as a shomer yavam, I might think she goes back to original status. Tamud amar yavam yavo aleha l'mitzvah. Meaning, you can only do it for that purpose. In other words, that you are limited in the purpose and the context within which you can have relations with her, unlike what you had three steps earlier. Now, Rava Amar disagrees. Afilu temer Rabbanan, that could be authored by the Rabbanan, and read the Braita differently. V'achikamar, yivama yavo aleha mitzvah. Shemitchila ita bichlal heter, meaning ratza konsa ratza ino konsa. Originally, it was a status of neutral. You could marry her, you could not marry her, you could have nothing to do with her. Nasra chazra v'hutra. Once she became asur, and then she became mutter again. Yachol tachzor le'atira rishon, I might think she goes back to original status, which means I could do whatever I want. I could ignore her. Ratza konsa, ratza ino konsa. Wait, ratza ino konsa, how could you do that? Hagida be. Bichdei tepuk. She's tied to him. How she's being released? How's she being released if he doesn't do anything? I might think he could give chalitza or yibum. In other words, he has a neutral relationship with this woman. He has to release her, but he has no obligation to marry her. So he reads like the Rabbanan that says the mitzvah really is yibum. Good. So now, we have two takes on this braita. Take one is that the reversion now is not like the original situation, where the original situation was, according to Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, the original situation was any motivation is okay to do this, and now only one motivation. And according to Rava, it is that you had no obligation before, and now you have an obligation to marry. Your motivation is not the issue. Now let's test that against the earlier part of the Braita. Eima Resha, Matzote Achab Makom Kadosh. Just talking about the Korban Mincha. The Korban Mincha has to be eaten in Kodesh, in the Azara, that is, and it has to be eaten as matzot, as matzot flat cakes that are baked. Mitzvah. What does that mean? Shemitchila haita alav bichlal heter. Originally, before this mincha was nitkatsha, it was straight in the flour. You could have eaten it anyway. Nasrat became usur when you were mekadesh it before you brought the komets. V'chazra v'hutra. And then when did it become a mutar again? When you burnt the komets of the mincha plus the levona on the mizbeach, yachol tachzor that the Rav Yishon, I may think, goes back to its original status. Talmud lomar matzote acham makom kadosh. That's why the Torah says it must be in that particular way. Mitzvah. Good. Now, bishlam al Rava, I understand according to Rava, tamar hamani rabbanan. He says the author of that entire bright is the rabbanan. And now, how do we read this part? Hachi kama. This is how it reads. Matzote acham makom kadosh. You have some flour or some bread sitting around your house. You can eat it or not eat it. It's up to you. But now with the mincha, you can't say the same thing. There's no havamina that you could avoid eating it. You have to eat it because the balim of the mincha gain kapara through the kohanim eating it. Ella, you have to eat it. Ella ratza hu ochla ratza koin acher ochla. Up until now, you didn't have to eat this at all. Now it has to be eaten, but it doesn't have to be eaten by you. Right? You, the one who brought it. Therefore, the Torah says it is a mitzvah for you to eat. Good. You, the makri. Good. So now, according to Rava, the first half of the Braita is interpreted very smoothly in a way that fits the second half of the Braita, the way Rava read it. That it's all Rabbanan. That the difference between the original status and later has nothing to do with motivation or style, it has to do with obligation. Beforehand, you had a neutral relationship with this thing, and now you're obligated to participate as a mitzvah. But according to Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Da'amar Abba Shaulu, Hacha Maitre Gavni Ika, what are the two different styles that have shifted between beforehand and afterwards? With the Yavama, I understand before I could have married her for any reason, now it has to do with the same mitzvah. With a mincha, what do I have? Possibility one, I didn't even put this on the page. Possibility one is I might have thought beforehand. Beforehand, I could eat it if I was hungry, and I could eat it even on a full stomach. What are you talking about? Achila gasa mishma achila. If I eat it on a full stomach, it's not called achila at all. I have no havamina that I could do that with a mincha. Right? We learned this in Masachet Yoma. If you eat an achila gasa and you have a full stomach and just stuff food in your mouth without any hunger whatsoever, and you kippur, you're potter. It's not called achila. You think maybe you have the option of eating this mincha as matzah or as chametz, and therefore the Torah is coming there to tell you beforehand you could have eaten it as matzah and chametz, and now it has to be matzah. Pasuk number 4 on the page, meaning you cannot even take part of a mincha and make it chametz, meaning you can't be makdir the chametz and then go and be machmitz the rest of the stuff and turn into chametz. You're not allowed to. So in any case, there was never a heter to eat this stuff as chametz. Ela ratza matzah ochla ratza chalut ochla. That's the thing. Originally, you had a relationship with this flour that you could eat it as baked or as boiled and baked, chalut. Hi, chalut echidami. So wait, what is this chalut? He matzah, if you keep it as matzah, meaning you baked it afterwards, a matzah, it's fine matzah. V'lo matzahim matzot rachmana. The Torah already called it matzot. You have to eat it matzot. So what new thing is there? What is the option? So lo li olam imalacha matzahi. The answer is chalut really is matzah. That's why the Torah here said matzot te'achel, to say that it cannot be chalut. That's just has to be pure matzah that was never boiled, only baked. Ela chalut matzahi the kamin al mayochata. So when you say that chalut is matzah, for what purpose, if not for mincha? The answer is that for mitzvot matzah at the Seder, you could be yotzeh. Even though you originally boiled it, once you put it in the oven, it's already called matzah lechemoni, and you could be yotzeh. That's a sugyim psachim. However, in the third parak, however, for our purposes, and it's the part that's important, what we see here is that this braita could be interpreted according to Abba Shaul, and say that originally I had a relationship where I could eat this stuff as matzah or as chalut. And then it became also with the komet, with the mincha. Once I brought the komet, it became mutter. I might think goes back to its original heter. Since I could eat it as matzah or chalut, therefore it says, matzot techa makom kadosh, lemitzvah, that has to be eaten in that particular way, and I don't have that option. Okay, good. The next Mishnah. Hacholet tzliyivim to'oriyu ke'achad min ha'achin l'nachalah. If a man gives chalitza to the Yavama, he is now no different than any of the other brothers as far as nachala of the dead brother. But if the father is still alive, lo aleinu, it's a terrible thing for a son to die while his father's alive. If such a thing happens, then the father gets everything. That's a normal case of nachala. Now, akonis et yivim to, if a man does yibum, zacham nachasim shel achiv, then he gets the entire estate of the dead brother. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even here, if the father's alive, father gets everything. So now let's see. Now the first thing is pshita. Obviously, if the guy gives chalitza, he's going to be like a regular brother. No reason for him to be different. I have the possible thought that the chalitza is a replacement for yibum. And maybe this fellow who does chalitza should get the entire estate. Now that's, of course, a preposterous notion. Is that every brother is going to jump to do chalitza because then he won't have responsibility for the woman and get the entire estate. Kamash Malan. So, Iyachi, Ariu Keachad Min Achim, so Eino Ela Keachad Min Achim Ibayelei. If that's the case, then the Mishnah shouldn't have said he is like one of the brothers, because it's not allaying the fact that he gets nothing. It should have said he's no better than one of the brothers, therefore rejecting the notion that he's got more than the brothers. This is the proper avenue. I might think that because he refused to yibum, we should fine him, and he gets nothing. Kamash malan, that he's a regular brother. Nut, im yesh av, if the father's alive, why? Damar av l'kodem l'kol, yotzei yirichol, l'kol, yotzei yirichol. Father inherits before any of his children. So if a man dies, if his father is alive, that comes first. If his father's not alive, then it goes to his son. No sons, no daughter, etc., and that's parshat. Parshat Nachalot, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, in Parshat Pinchas, and which starts in the 8th parak of Masechet Bava Batra. Hakoneset Yivim To. Now, my time. Yakum al Shem Achiv Amar Rachmanu Arei Kam. Why is it that the brother does Yibum, takes the entire estate? Because it says Yakum al Shem Achiv, and we said that's the Nachala. We already went through that that Limud a little bit earlier. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, what Rabbi Yehuda says, if the father's alive, he gets everything. Amar Ula Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Interesting. Ula says Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Mechana Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Ula Mitam Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Maitam Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason for saying the father gets everything? That the Bechor, which we said midrashically, does not refer to the child, but rather to the brother who's Miyabim. Ki Bechor, ma Bechor ein lo b'chayav, afay nami ein lo b'chayav. Just like no Bechor inherits anything while his father's alive, similarly, this brother gets nothing if his father's alive. Ima Bechor no tzap yishnayim l'achar mitat ha'av, afay no tzap yishnayim l'achar mitat ha'av. So now we're going to turn this brother into a Bechor, so he's going to then get a double portion. So midi yukum Hashem aviv t'iv? No, because the Yibum has nothing to do with standing at his father's place. Yakum al Shem Achiv Ktiv. It's about his taking his brother's place. Velo al Shem Aviv. So Eima Echad Aleika Av Delishko Nachala Tidkai Mitzvah Yibum. So now let's throw this possibility out. So if there's no father alive, then we can have full Yibum, where the brother gets the estate and gets the girl. Echad Deika Av Delo Shakal Nachala Tidkai Mitzvah Yibum. So maybe there is no Mitzvah Yibum if the father is around, because the brother's not going to get the Nachala. So me, Yibum, Nachala, Tala, Rachmana. What, did the Torah make Yibum all about the Nachala? So who can tell me if the brother was penniless, there's no Yibum? It doesn't make sense. Yivum mi yabme, you do Yibum. V'yika Nachala shkuli, if there's a Nachala, you get it. V'ilo lo shakil. And if not, then you don't get it. And Rabbi Yehuda will argue, and also, if there is Nachala, but father's alive, you also don't get it. You still do the mitzvah of Yibum. Yati Rav Chanina Krab, Chanina, the Tanakh teacher, Kamed Rav Yanai. So he repeated the statement that halachas Rabbi Yehuda, which has been our operating base right now. I'm like, full cry, chlevra. Take your psukim outside. In other words, ain't halachas Rabbi Yehuda. You're wrong. Halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha is like Rabbanan. The Avam always gets the entire state, even if the father's alive. Tanya Tana come in of Nachman, ain't halachas Rabbi Yehuda. Now a Tana taught in front of Nachman that halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. I'm like, Ella, come on. Rabbanan, so who does it follow? Rabbanan pshita, yachid rum halacha gravim. Obviously, it's like Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda against the majority. Amalei asme. So should I erase this Mishnah? Should I erase the statement? Amalei lo at halacha at nech umukshu da'at shilach. What happened is you taught that halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, and then you were bothered, so you turned it around. Ve'afchat ulamai da'afchat shapir achfat, and then you turned it around. And you did a good job turning around saying that ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda, but we certainly leave the Mishnah in its place. Okay, Yemir Tzashem, everybody should have a wonderful day. Yemir Tzashem, we will continue in the next podcast on Daf Mem, going to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the very bottom.